Moncrief on News Talk.
We can probably all name a film or films that were genuinely suspenseful. Yet the chances are they weren't made in the last few decades. The Telegraph's film critic, Tim Robbie, argues that filmmakers seem to have lost that skill. Tim, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me on the show.
Is it a skill that they've lost or a skill that they've abandoned?
I think it's a bit of both. I think there are certain filmmakers who were always good at it, who have just pivoted away from it. And they've made films that are longer and maybe more self-important, more prestigious, but less exciting in the moment, less suspenseful. And then there's a whole younger generation of filmmakers who've come up who just haven't needed to learn the techniques of suspense because other genres are the ones that make the money these days. And it's an increasingly global business, and suspense films just don't seem to get made. I mean, they don't cut it. They don't reach the top 10, which I find quite sad. I miss those films.
And why is it they don't make the top 10 anymore? As, for instance, streamers and double screening got anything to do with
it? Has what, sorry?
Has the streamers and double screening got anything to do with it?
Absolutely, yeah. So, I mean, that's the thing about suspense. You have to pay attention to every moment on screen, right? In order for a sequence to work, in order for you to be on the edge of your seat, you need to be aware of the pace and the stakes, and you need to spot every detail. And it requires a lot of clever editing to make sure that that's all on screen for you. But if you're only half paying attention and, you know, you're half on your phone, those scenes are not going to land for you on your sofa. So that's one of the reasons that streamers don't bother to make that many truly suspenseful films. And the other thing is that those sort of films have just been dislodged over the last few decades by other forms of filmmaking, different algorithms that just like work better across the world. And it's I kind of would call it paint by numbers, except it's really computer effects by numbers and kind of animated sequels by numbers and Disney remakes of their original animations by numbers. Those are the films that now really reach the top echelons of box office success. And the exciting films, like back in the day, something like The Fugitive, you know, In the Line of Fire. I was looking at films from that year, 1993, which I remember very fondly. There were a lot of very good, exciting thrillers that year. And those films just don't get made. Where is The Fugitive now? You just don't see it.
Yeah, and it was striking. You did mention Ridley Scott in your piece. And like, I remember going to the cinema and to see Alien, the original Alien, and absolutely crapping myself. And then it just became diminishing returns. And the Alien movies he's personally returned to are just, you know, they're more about the special effects, really.
They are. And I feel like he's kind of even betrayed some of the ideas from the first film, like the lifespan of the alien seems all wrong when you watch the new ones. It makes me feel like Alan Partridge for the Alien films. They got Alien wrong, but they just get hatched too quickly. Everything's too hasty and nothing works on a suspense level. It's really sad to see that happen to a director like him. And even other filmmakers like David Fincher, very good filmmaker, made some great suspense classics like Seven and The Game in the 1990s. Mm. He doesn't make those films anymore. There are a lot of filmmakers who you know can do it. You know Martin Scorsese can do it. He kind of chooses not to. Even Quentin Tarantino, who loves these sort of films. He loves films that are really tight and mean business and get the job done. Those are his favorite types of films. But he's too big to make them. He's too important in the industry. So he makes epic films that maybe have one or two sequences that are genuinely kind of nail-biting. But then there's a lot of indulgence. There's a lot of chit-chat. There's a lot of Quentin Tarantino kind of wanting to win Oscars, essentially. And I think that's a pity, because I do think that the suspense films that used to be our bread and butter at the movies have fallen by the wayside, really.
So, are you saying that within the world of filmmaking, suspense films are looked down on, somewhat, that, you know, they're not arty enough?
I think that might be the case. I think certainly for filmmakers who have received a certain level of acclaim and had a lot of success, they get puffed up by their own hype, and the industry throws so much money behind them. They have to make huge, spectacular films. Christopher Nolan is another example. Denis Villeneuve, who made the Dune film. These filmmakers, and they're not encouraged anymore to make a tight 90-minute suspense thriller that really grabs us, because it's the assumption is that that film is not going to fly and be a kind of globally huge blockbuster anymore in the way that it used to be. And that has changed, because if you look at Alfred Hitchcock, you know, one of the great filmmakers of all time, probably the greatest British-born filmmaker ever, you know, he kept faith with suspense movies, and he was still making them long after his success. He made Psycho really into the latter half of his career, and Psycho is a classic example of a very tight film where there's almost not one sequence that is not tense. You don't know what's going to happen. You're genuinely on the edge of your seat. And where's Psycho now? I just don't think people are doing it. The only genre where maybe you could argue there is still suspense at work is the horror genre. There are some films where suspense is very important in horror. A film like Weapons last year, for example, and perhaps some of the films by Jordan Peele, like Get Out. But there's still all sorts of other elements to those films. They're not pure suspense films, are they?
Yeah.
And I think it's the pure suspense film that we've lost.
When you say that various directors are not being encouraged to make those films, who is doing the encouraging there? Is it the marketplace or what?
I mean, it's the marketplace, but it's also the industry that wants to sustain their success. And, you know, you've reached a certain plateau, you've reached a certain level, and then they say, right, make your masterpiece, you know, and keep making it. Make a three-hour-long film that will play in the blockbuster space. And those films are not the types of films. But the other thing is that the younger filmmakers coming up through the ranks are not learning the craft and the techniques of suspense, which is such a pure aspect of cinema, which is one of the things that filmmakers learned right at the beginning of cinema, you know, in the silent era, was how to cut together a sequence. There's someone with a knife entering a house. There's a woman with a baby terrified, and you cut it together to create suspense. And I don't think filmmakers now are learning that craft. They're doing other things. They're trying to do long takes. They're learning how to incorporate computer effects into all of their films. You know, they're learning all these other techniques, and suspense is now kind of dispensable in a way. Mm. And like I say, I just miss those films. I just wish we still got some of them as well. I want a varied diet of movies. I don't only want suspense films, but I definitely think they've fallen away.
Where did the idea that the longer the better comes from?
Yeah, it's bizarre, isn't it? I mean, it's been around a long, long time. It was around even in, you know, even the 1970s, some of those filmmakers were making, like, The Godfather as a long film. You know, Godfather Part 2 is even longer, and that's how it works. You know, when you've been given permission to make a long film, you get to make an even longer one next time, and that has been Quentin Tarantino's kind of downfall in a way. When you think back to how tight Reservoir Dogs was, which is probably his most suspenseful film, every other film he's made since then has been longer and then longer again. And it's sort of because editors or studios don't have, you know, the power anymore to kind of say, we need to tighten this. They've lost the ability to kind of step in, if you like. And that's one thing. But also, I think these directors are given latitude, and some of them are great filmmakers and they have great things to say. And that's fine. They can be allowed to make those films. I think they should intersperse them. I think they should do, you know, one short, tight one, and then one really baggy, epic one.
Yes.
I think one Steven Soderbergh still does try to do that. He still makes some thrillers. He made a film called Kimmy a few years ago. He made a spy movie called Black Bag with Cate Blanchett and Michael Fassbender quite recently. And he makes those in between other types of genre films. And he's happy to do that because there's a sort of unpretentiousness about him. He likes that genre and he wants to work in it.
Yeah.
He gets a pass, but some of these other guys, I do think, have left one of my favourite genres behind.
Yeah, because there used to be a one for me, one for them kind of arrangement. That seems to have gone now, all right.
It does, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, one of our listeners, Paul in Westport says Uncut Gems is a good example of a really suspenseful, tightly scripted movie. I don't know if suspense is the word you'd use about that, or is that just nerviness?
I think anxiety is what that film is.
Yes.
I mean, it is well crafted, and those directors, Safdie brothers, do that. But it's just this kind of overall layer of anxiety that's applied over the whole film. And I think Christopher Nolan does that as well a bit. Like Dunkirk is quite anxiety inducing.
Mm. Yeah.
But it's not exactly suspenseful, because you sort of know what's going to happen eventually. There's not that many surprises sprung. And I didn't find myself like chewing my nails all the way through it in the way that some of my favorite movies, you know, I think back to a film called Dead Calm, Nicole Kidman and Sam Neill on a boat in 1989. Amazing film, very Hitchcockian in its way. with Billy Zane as the intruder who comes in, who's a psycho and is potentially going to like take over. And like I mentioned The Game and I mentioned Seven, but there's another one called Breakdown with Kurt Russell, which is a great film from 1997, where Kurt Russell's wife goes missing in the desert and she's been kidnapped by a kind of ring of redneck criminals, and he has to chase them down and try and find her. And it's so tense. Every scene counts and every moment is crafted well. And yeah, that was a summer hit in 1997 of the kind that we just don't see anymore at the multiplexes.
Yeah, indeed. Another one of our listeners says the only suspense in modern cinema is how much they're going to charge for the popcorn. Tim Robey is a film critic with the Daily Telegraph. Tim, thanks a million for talking to us today.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.